name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, and God. Amen. So today's gospel brought us one of those verses that, like, we all know that the Bible says, and we probably, you know, heard it, said it maybe a few times, been taught it several times, but it's one of those ones that we don't really like that much. Either it's got to be one of two things. Either we don't understand it or we don't like it. Okay, because if we like it, if we understand it, we probably won't like it very much. And it's actually the last three verses of the gospel where the Lord Jesus Christ said very simply, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. If it is better to enter into life lame or maimed than having two hands or two feet and be cast in the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and be cast into hell fire. Verse that, like I said, we all know that verse. That if my hand causes me to sin, cut it off. Better to go into life with one hand than as opposed to being cast into everlasting fire with two hands. We know it, and we kind of know what it means, but it's one of those verses that we don't really like. Because let's be honest, I like my hands. And my hands have become me and them become attached, okay, literally as well as figuratively. And I really like my eyes a lot, and I can't imagine not having my eyes. I mean, we lose power sometimes at night and it's dark, and I have my eyes, I just don't have electricity, and I can't really survive very much without them. So our eyes and our hands and our feet are things that we become kind of close to. And we know, of course, the Lord is speaking here symbolically, and he's saying anything that causes you to sin, basically. Even if it's as close as your eye. So if your friend causes you to sin, if a relationship is causing you to sin, anything that's causing you to sin. Like I said, we don't like this verse. So what we do is we try to water it down a little bit. Okay, so let's water it down. If your hand causes you to sin, okay, cut it off is too harsh. Let's modernize it for the 21st century. If your hand causes you to sin, put, like, just don't use your hand for a couple days. Okay? And then it'll be okay after a couple days. Or put some ice on it. Or put a big Band-Aid on it, and that should be fine. If your eye causes you to sin, try to just look down, you know, and don't open it too much of the day. Only 50% of the time, open up your eyes. This is what we do. We water down the statements of our Lord Jesus Christ. But today's gospel, okay, if I had to come up with a theme, of all the readings for today, if you were paying attention, the readings for today were a very simple message. Don't water it down. I don't know how to put that theologically or spiritually, but that's what I came up with. Is don't water it down. Because all of today's readings spoke very, very clearly about when the Lord comes and he speaks clearly. And we're the ones who add, why do people say that Christianity is confusing? Christianity is not confusing. The Bible is not confusing. We confused it because we added stuff and invented stuff and we water stuff down. But today's readings were all very, very, very clear as to what the truth is. But before, like, I get into the harsh message, because it's kind of a harsh message, sorry, okay? The Lord set up the message with a beautiful verse, Matthew chapter 18, verse 4. At the beginning of the gospel, before he gave this harsh message about cutting off, he gave a weird message. He said, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What happened was, is the disciples... Okay, this is Matthew chapter 18. You remember what happened in Matthew chapter 17? Anyone know? Matthew chapter 17 was the transfiguration. Okay, where he saw God in all his glory. And then Christ had spoke to them about his kingdom. And these guys, remember last week we came, and these guys were casting out demons and healing the sick. So these guys started to get themselves a little bit puffed up. And they started thinking about, yeah, we're doing a good job. We see transfigurations, and we see glory, and we're going to rule as kings and all this kind of stuff. They started to discuss among themselves who's going to be the greatest, and who's going to, and St. Peter was saying, no, I'm going to sit at the head of the table. No, St. John, you have to sit in the back, and he's going to invite all this kind of stuff. So in front of all of them, our Lord Jesus Christ does something very strange. He used to do strange things. He said, you guys are arguing about who's going to be best. I'm going to tell you who's going to be best. He says, okay, great. Call my name. Okay, I know I'm at least top three. I know at least I'll be one of the top three. I don't know where I'll be, but I'll be top three. He said, you want to know who number one is? And he went and got some little, Mina comes in here. This is Mr. Mina. Okay, Mina's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Okay? He called some little kid up here. Can you imagine I go to the Holy Synod, all the bishops and the popes and the patriarchs, and I say, I'm going to put you guys in order today. Who's number one? And I bring Mina here with me. And I bring Mina in front of everyone, and I say, this is who you should be like. You guys are all smiling. It's because you don't know Mina. Okay, he's a great guy. Go sit down, Mina. Good job. He's a great guy. But you know what? Even, the Bible doesn't say that even Jesus brought a child. It says brought a little child. Even younger than that. Even like a small little toddler guy. He said, be like him. So I started to think to myself, what was the message he was trying to give? Thought back to something that happened in my house recently, not too long ago. You know, I got two kids. One, Michael, who is like 2.5, and one, Elizabeth, who is like 4 months now. Okay? And Michael is great, and he loves Elizabeth, and he takes care of her, but sometimes he loves her too much. You know what I'm saying? Some love him too much, and squeeze him, and hug him, and all kinds of stuff. So he knows he has to be gentle. Okay? Her nickname is Dibba. Okay? So she's called Dibba. Okay? Has a funny name in Arabic, but it's cute in English. So her name is Dibba. So he knows to be gentle with Dibba, and he knows gentle with Dibba. He knows this kind of stuff. One time he learned his body parts, and he knows my nose, my ears, my head. So he wanted to show her, this is your ears, Dibba, and he loves showing her head and like this and stuff like that. And he wants to like teach her in a loving kind of a way. But he knows he has to be gentle with her because she's just a baby. Remember one day I came home. Apparently he wasn't so gentle during this day. I came home, and you know, I came upstairs and saw Marianne. I said, okay, where's Michael? She said, he's upstairs. He's in big trouble. What'd he do? He was, you know, he hit Dibba in the face or something like that. I said, no way. She said, yeah. And, you know, he didn't listen, all this kind of stuff. So he's upstairs in his room in timeout. So I go upstairs to his room, and I open the door, and he's up there, and he's got this little piano thing in his room. So he's playing on the piano. I say, Michael, what happened? He said, Michael hit Dibba. I said, why'd Michael hit Dibba? He said, Dibba face. I said, Michael, that's not good. And he just looked at me, and I said, Michael, why'd you do that? He didn't really have an answer. He said, okay, we got to go say sorry. He went and said sorry to Dibba. Again, tried to touch her in the face, but in a loving kind of a way. But like, the second I walked up there, I said, Michael, you know, why, like, did you do something wrong? Right away. He said, yeah, I hit Dibba in the face. Okay? And he didn't. Thing is, I'm starting to think to myself here. I learned something about kids that day. He didn't lie. Somehow I feel like we would have lied. Like, we would have lied. We would have said, no, you see, what happened was Dibba was talking some bad words, okay? And Dibba was saying, so I was just trying to, like, cover her. We would have lied. And I think that, and all you parents sitting there saying, my kid lies, don't worry, my kid's probably going to get there soon too, but I think it's like a learned thing, probably sometime when they get to school, that we teach them to, like, lie to cover up their stuff. And unfortunately, it's a lesson that we learned at a young age, and it stuck with us. But I think one trait that we can learn from kids, that I learned from my kid that day, is when the Lord comes and says, did you do something wrong? He says, yeah, I hit Dibba in the face, and I know I wasn't supposed to touch Dibba in the face. And he said it right away. We're not good at facing the truth. What's much easier for us is to dance around the truth and to rationalize the truth. And that's why our Lord Jesus Christ is coming today with this message. He's saying, look, you can dance around the truth all you want to dance around it, but there's going to come a point in time where if you hold on to that hand, it's going to take you to the everlasting fire. You can say what you want to say. You can do what you want to do. You can rationalize and justify and all that kind of stuff. But you know who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Is the one who stands up and says, you know what? This is a problem, and I'm willing to take an action on it. I'll read to you something from the Catholic Epistle. And if the sound room people are sharp, get us the Catholic Epistle up there if you don't mind. Came from the Epistle of St. Jude. From the very beginning. Listen here what the message is. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also saying, listen, here's the important part. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Four times in that one sentence he used the word ungodly. And it's a very simple message. He's saying, look, the Lord is coming one day, and he's going to convict everyone of sin. And it's not just him coming by himself, but he's going to come with thousands of people. Why thousands of people? Because one, you can say, no, I didn't really do this. But one guy says, no, I saw him. Another guy says, yeah, I saw him do it too. And the other guy, you have 10,000 people saying, no, I saw him hit Dibba in the face. You can't get around it when that situation happens. And what the Lord is saying right here is, there's going to come a point in time where you have to stand up and tell the truth. I think the message that our Lord was trying to give us today in this gospel, one of the most important principles of victory in the Christian life, and you'll never have victory, and you'll never have power, and you'll never have the kingdom until you learn this virtue, which is the virtue of honesty, okay? Which means that you call sin, sin. which is something that our early forefathers used to be able to do much better than us. But we're able to rationalize and water down and justify and all this kind of stuff. There's an epidemic, which the epistle spoke about, and which is, you can see all around you today, which is just kind of hiding the sin and covering the sin and not calling sin by its name. Calling sin by, malish. And calling sin by, I'm doing my best. And calling sin by society. And like I told you guys before, our best one is the devil. The poor devil. I never feel sorry for the devil like I feel for him sometimes these days, because we blame everything on him, even when it's us sometimes doing stuff, and we just want to pin it on someone else. The Lord Jesus Christ came today with a message that says, you've got to face the truth. I'll give you another passage, which was from the Gospel of Isaiah last night. It's from Luke chapter 16. The Lord says the following. He's talking to the Pharisees and giving them a hard time. Because the Pharisees were very good at this. The Pharisees were very good at covering up their sins, saying, look at all the good stuff I do. He said, yeah, but look at the bad stuff. And they said, no, but look at the good stuff. They didn't care to look at the bad stuff. So he says, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. Oh, that's a tough one. You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. I get scared that sometimes all my efforts is spent on looking good in front of other men, whether it's myself or the people I know. But this message today is simple. Is God knows your heart. And no matter how much you try to avoid it, God knows what's inside there. So what should I do? What should I do right now based on this message? Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said, okay, about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He said that whoever humbles himself as this little child. I like the way he said it, because he didn't say he who is humble as this little child. He said he who humbles himself as this little child. What's the difference? He didn't say he who is humble as this young man or as this young child will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He said he who humbles himself as this little child. What's the difference? If I say he who is humble, then you know what? I pray and God should make me humble. I pray and God should convict me. I did my part, and you know what? I just wasn't gifted with the gift of humility. That's for the saints. That's for the monks. I wasn't given the gift of humility. It's not my responsibility. Again, dancing around the issue. He says, no. He says, you want to be great? You must humble yourself. It's a decision that you must make to say, I will face the truth. I will examine my life. Examine my heart. I will stop ignoring the little voice that's inside my head, which says this relationship is uh-uh, which says this habit is uh-uh, which says that you shouldn't do this. I'm going to stop ignoring that kind of stuff. And I'm going to humble myself and say, you know what, Daddy? You're right. I hit dibba. What happens if you do that? Then you'll be the greatest. See, sometimes, don't look at this the wrong way. Don't look at it and think that the Lord comes to us with this message to scare us, or like punish us. That's the worst thing that you can do here, is leave scared or fear of punishment. Why does the Lord give us this message? In verse 3 that we read, he said, unless you are converted and become as little children, you by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. First thing he's saying is, become like a little child, because I want to give you heaven. Some people don't want to think, some people that didn't do it. So he said, you know what? Forget about heaven. Not just be in heaven, the greatest one in heaven. And it's like the Lord is like outdoing himself. Please face the truth. Please repent. Please is cut off that hand and cut off that eye, and I'll let you into heaven. Okay, you know what? Even come, more than heaven, I'll make you the greatest one in heaven. And he's promising us more and more to try to entice us. And then again, from the Catholic Epistle, one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible is the very, very end of the Epistle of St. Jude. He gives a nice little phrase, which I'm sure some people here know. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What I want you to see today is that today's not a day of like fear and punishment. But today is a day of the Lord saying, look, your eye, your foot, your hand, whatever it is that's causing you to sin, I need you to look at it. Because I see it. I don't just see the outside. I see what's inside. And I see what's causing this. And you need to cut it. Well, why? And this and that. No, please. Number one, I want you to enter the kingdom of heaven. Number two, I want on top of entering the kingdom of heaven, I want to make you the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And number three, on top of entering the kingdom of heaven, making you the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, I want to present you faultless. I want to keep you from stumbling. I want to present you perfect on that final day. The Lord is not coming to say, watch out. The Lord is coming with like an invitation kind of way, saying, who wants to have this reward? But if you want it, you got to learn the message of humbling yourself as a little child. You got to learn the message of who are you living for? Like, are you living to please yourself and just make yourself and your ego okay? And just make, like, you want this relationship, so you're going to do it one way or the other and just calm your ego? Or maybe you don't even think that you have an ego. Maybe you're just living and you make yourself feel big, you make yourself feel important, this and that. You don't even realize there's an ego problem inside. I don't know what it is. But I know that the Lord gave us a model today of what it takes to enter the kingdom, to be great in the kingdom, and then to be perfect and faultless before the presence of His glory, which is to see what's going on the inside. To see if our eye, see if our ear, see if our foot, see if our hand, see if our anything is causing us to go away from Him. And when that does, we honestly say yes, and we pluck that thing out. If you do that, God has a great reward for you. I hope you believe that. I really hope you believe that. Because what I found a lot of times, we don't believe that enough. We got to be like that little child. When Daddy promises us ice cream, we hold Him to that ice cream. Okay? He said if we brush our teeth, He's going to take us to ice cream the next day. We hold Him to it no matter what happens. Okay? And there will be all kinds of noise until we get that ice cream. I hope we trust in our Heavenly Father the same way. That He told us heaven, and He told us greatest, and He told us faultless, that we do our part. And then we trust that He's going to do His part. Glory be to God forever. Amen.